And welcome back to Community Connections. Cindy McLeish, normally Cindy's here. She's been held up a bit. We had her on the line, but I'm not sure she hasn't disappeared. So we'll just see if she's there. Are you there, Cindy? Oh, you've disappeared off the screen. There you are, back again. I thought maybe the line had dropped out. Cindy, can't you? Oh, well, that's probably an advantage, to be honest with you. But anyway, that's another story. Cindy, we've been talking to the office, obviously, seeing what's going on, and they tell me you're in Mansfield. Is there any particular reason you're up there, or just being the local MP?
Of the library that is happening in town.
Hang on, we've got something going on here, Cindy. I'm not sure what's going wrong.
Oh, I can hear you.
Oh, that's it. Now we're right. Sorry, yeah, you weren't coming through. So, as I said, you're up in Mansfield. Is there a reason for it?
Look, I like to get out and about in all corners of the electorate as much as I can, you know, when Parliament's not sitting. And we've got a bit of a break for the winter recess, so, you know, it's a good opportunity. But at the same time, the library has just had a $500,000 refurbishment, and it's actually, you know, got this whole little kids area and everything. It's really quite good. And so that was on today, and so I've combined it with catching up, you know, with the men's shed. They've got a hospice here. They've got I'm met with the council. I'm sitting in the mayor's office at the minute. And just catching up with a couple of other people, you know, keeping my ear to the ground, Alan. That's what it's all about.
Cindy, I must say, and I've mentioned this unit before, you've actually got one of the biggest electorates around, haven't you? Like a lot of the city people, they only go sort of 30 k's each way and that's it.
They've got no idea. It takes them 10 minutes to drive from one side of their electorate to the other.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, that's not even the distance between, you know, Reefton and Warburton's. 10 minutes, more than 10 minutes.
Well, and Yarra Glen to Yea is a lot longer than that.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but the advantage is that you get to represent some, you know, fabulous little towns all along, you know, whether it's Powelltown and Warburton or whether it's Merton and Bonnie Doon, you know, it's all fabulous, great places to be.
Their needs are a lot different to Melbourne needs too, aren't they?
Oh, completely, because you ask any country member of Parliament what the biggest issue is. Yeah. Cost of living is hitting it at the moment, but other than that, it's roads and it's roads and it's roads. And someone said to me once, oh, you talk about roads a lot, and I'm like, yeah, because that's what everybody rings the office, speaks to me in the street, emails me, Facebooks me and says, the roads are a disgrace. You know, you don't have to go far and people have got stories about those on the side of the road changing tyres and stuff, so... You know, but you know, it's good to get out because it's such a great area.
Yep.
But here and see the roads, I know what the roads are like. They're dreadful.
Well, you're driving them.
I'm driving them.
And Mansfield is a lovely town too, isn't it?
Oh, look, it's absolutely beautiful. You know, quite chilly at the minute. There's a good deal of snow at Mount Buller at the moment. I'm not sure how much. I don't know if there's been any flutterings at Donabuang. At the minute, that's, you know, considerably lower than Mount Buller. But, so school holidays, that's a good thing. But, you know, one of the downers, not so much in Mansfield, but in Molesworth, the caravan park, which is usually really choppers, school holidays is underwater again because of floods. So, you know, it's not a lot has been said about it, actually. But,
no,
low-lying areas of the Yarra Valley as well, it's often underwater.
Yeah. While we're talking about caravan parks, let's talk about parks. You wanted to say something about the parks.
Oh, look, you know, there's so much that needs to be done. The government needs to give so much more attention to our parks because we've got holly growing rampantly at Maroondah Dam, and we've got the bridge at the O'Shaughnessy Trail that's not fixed, and this stuff needs to be fixed. But, you know, there's only so many of the rangers around too, you know, and they can't do everything because if there's not enough money or people allocated to do it. So, you know, I've heard, you know, sometimes the Rangers say they feel like that I'm getting stuck into them. I'm not getting stuck into them. Right. I just, you know, people have, you know, we've got great facilities here, and if something's broken, it needs to be fixed, and, you know, the government need to put the money into getting that done, because the Rangers aren't the ones that, you know, make the call on how many of them are out and about.
And so, and let's be honest, the Yarra Valley is all about tourism, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's not enough beds. Like, it's really difficult. So you get a lot of the Airbnbs because of that. Lots have sprung up. But, you know, there's really not many hotels at all in the Yarra Valley. You know, we've got a few motels in Healesville. We've got the RACV Club. And, you know, there's not a huge amount of accommodation other than private rentals.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Hiya, Bobby.
Hi, Cam.
You want to go for a ride?
Sure, Ken.
Jump in.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world. Life in plastic, it's fantastic. You can brush my hair, undress me everywhere. Imagination, life is your creation.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
That was the song that you would probably hear from David Oaten on a Sunday afternoon. That was Aqua with Barbie Doll. We're talking to Cindy McLeish. Cindy, you were saying that there's some problems there with wild dogs around.
There are wild dogs around, and I guess sometimes people aren't always aware that, you know, in the hills, because we have a lot of areas surrounding national park or forest, state forests, and often in those forests live dogs, wild dogs, and they go and they hunt in packs. And in and around Wesburn, Hoddle's Creek, and at the back of Wurrialik alone, I believe there's three different packs of dogs. And what people see, they report the colours, So if you see a pack of dogs with particular colours and then you see a pack of dogs with different colours, well, you know they're obviously a different pack of dogs. And what they, you know, they attack a lot of the wildlife and they attack a lot of the sheep as well. And, you know, they are a real problem. Someone told me one time that they were in one of the parks. They were out and about and they saw a dump load of pups.
Really?
And, you know, so not all of those pups might have lived, but they went back, you know, 7 or 8 weeks later or something like that, and they bumped into a couple of bigger ones that were still young dogs, and they thought that they may well have been that same pups that have grown up, and they start to hunt. So they'll hunt wild animals, you know, our native animals, and then they'll also move onto property, and particularly if people have got sheep. But I've heard stories that if you've got, you know, people have, awful stories actually, people with ewes lambing, you know, the dog will get the lamb while it's being born.
Oh, that's terrible.
Down.
And I guess the trouble is with your wild dogs, they would then inbreed too, wouldn't they? So you're not starting off with a pup, you're starting off with a breed that's already, or not a breed, but a pack that's already got problems before they start, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And, you know, the deer also have an impact here, because what happens is if somebody takes out a deer and doesn't take it, you know, use it for their own meat or for whatever, and they leave it there, sometimes people will leave them and just take the antlers. And then that food, the carcass, is food for a pack of wild dogs, you know, a bitch and her pups, for example. And so, you know, you get this breeding as well. So we've really got to be quite vigilant. People, if you've got small dogs at home and you've got wild dogs in the area, they could easily be attacked as well. So in and around Hoddle's Creek, there's a lot of community members really concerned about this and trying to, you know, get some work done. There's a lot of rules around trapping and baiting, and, you know, we're in an area where there's lots of houses. It's not like, in fact, at the back of Mansfield, you know, there's wild dog problems, but it's not densely populated. So people's, there's rules about where you can put the bait and things like that. So, but yes, it's becoming quite a problem.
And some of those deer are pretty big too, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Some of them are massive.
Yeah.
Some of them are massive. I was somewhere the other day and there was a deer and a doe and her fawn, you know, just trotting along the middle of the road in the middle of day. Yeah, I don't think they're – I'm not sure that they're all very they're not so wild, but they're not completely timid. But, you know, we do have to be mindful of where we live. Yeah. There are wild animals and the dogs in particular. You know, the dogs – we've seen on Fraser Island, actually, it was dingoes, so, you know, like attack children and things like that. So we've just got to be so mindful, and the landowners are, you know, doing all that they can to try and protect their animals as well, but the government have a bit of a role here to help out.
Cindy, the Millgrove have got an opening coming up.
The Millgrove Community Action Group, or the Residents Action Group, MRAG, just continue to do a great job and really bat above their weight. And on Saturday morning, I think it's at 10 a.m., they have the opening of the Millgrove Avenue of Honour. And there's a little spot down there where people know, near the fire station. And what they've done, what the community have done down there, you know, they started having dawn services and they didn't really have anywhere to commemorate, so they got a big rock and then they've made, you know, the bit of an area, and they've kept developing it to have somewhere in Millgrove that you know, can certainly go and honour the fallen. And this is the next stage, you know, the Avenue of Honour.
And so this has been driven by the residents through the action group, is that right?
Yep, the community action group, get on with it and do it. You know, we had a fabulous, or we have, a fabulous Avenue of Honour in Yarra Junction as well, near the old railway station and going towards the footy ground. And again, you know, it was just locals who got on and built this and protected the trees to make it happen as well. Just community people doing what community people do best. They want to live in a great place and this is what they do.
Well, that's terrific. And so they make it better for themselves and everybody else at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. So on Saturday morning, there'll be, you know, a lot of activity down there, and so I'll be certainly there. And then there's the sponsors lunch at the Wurrialik Footy Club, so I'll scoot from one to the other. I think I went to the sponsors lunch, or sponsors function it was, not lunch, at Yarra Junction last weekend. So there's lots happening down in the Upper Yarra at the moment.
Which is good. There's always something happening in the Upper Yarra area, isn't there?
Always.
All right. It's
great, great place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Take a quick break and I'll be back with more. Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm talking to Cindy McLeish. Now, I ran that promo because the next thing you want to talk about is a committee you're on looking at organ donation.
Yeah, well done, Alan. I'm quite impressed with that. I'm on a Parliamentary Legal and Social Issues Committee, and the issue that we're looking at the moment is about the rates of organ donation.
Which is pretty low, isn't it?
In Victoria.
Yeah.
Oh, Victoria. Mate. Yeah, Victoria. Victoria's way behind the other states. So we're having a look at some of the issues around why it might be so low and recommendations to increase it. But it seems to, though, that there's a number of reports have already been done in this field already. So I'm not sure why some of the recommendations haven't been implemented. But I did want to talk about it because when we think about organ donation, we probably don't think about tissue donation as well. And, you know, we heard from one of the people that had given, we call them witnesses, if they come and present at the inquiry. And, you know, when they had the volcano in New Zealand that a whole lot of Australians were burnt and things like that, they go to the tissue registry to see if there's any donated skin that they use for skin grafts. So when people had beer burns, and in fact, at times they run out. And so they'd run out one time and they had to get skin to come in from overseas. But when you think about organ donation, people probably think, you know, about a kidney because you could be a live donor, yep. actually donate a kidney. They might think about a cornea, you know, a heart or a lung or a liver, yep. something like that. You know, they get talked about a lot more than some of the other areas. But ligaments, surgeons apparently prefer a natural ligament to repair somebody's ligament.
And they can transplant that as well.
They can do everything, Helen. They can do so much. And, you know, the Austin have got this machine now, a perfusion machine, and if they take a kidney, I think, or a liver, that these ones that you can do, you can take it out of the body, and instead of having to immediately rush to get it into the recipient, you can put it on this machine, and it essentially keeps fluids flowing through it to keep it alive for a longer period of time. And somebody from the Austin said, you know, you don't have to, we didn't have to race in and get the team ready at 10 o'clock at night. We could actually wait till 8 o'clock the next morning.
Because that used to be the thing, doesn't it? They had to, particularly if it was interstate, it had to be on a plane and picked up and police escort, you know, get it there real quick.
Yeah, and you still do because the quality of the organ is so, you know, is vital.
Right.
But this, when you've got something that's, you know, in a good condition, you can keep it just, you can buy some extra time, and that makes an enormous difference when you've got a team of surgeons. Sometimes, you know, you need three or four different surgeons to do the work.
It's marvellous what they can do.
Oh, look, it is incredibly marvellous, and it's interesting as well. But there's one thing that holds it back. Well, not one thing, but one of the things that does hold it back is that your family, even if you're an organ donor, your family are the ultimate veto.
So they can just say no, can they?
Yeah. So if your family know that you're a passionate organ donor, and then it will be no problem. A lot of times, and they did give us statistics on this, if you've never had a discussion with your family, so, you know, Alan's on life support or whatever, and the doctors say, you know, have you thought about tissue donation? What Alan's thoughts on this? And they'll say, oh, don't know. Don't know. He may be a donor. He may not be a donor. We haven't had a discussion about it. So one of the things that all of the people involved in the field suggest is that you have discussions. And often if people are a little bit reluctant to think about it, to say, if one of your family members needed a kidney or a heart or lungs, would you be happy for them to be the recipient? And, you know, to look at it, say, yes, of course I'd want somebody to live. And they talk to primary school students about these groups that go in and talk to school students, and they'd say, you know much about this, and the kids wouldn't know much. And they'd say, who would like if their sister or brother was going to die and that they could have a heart or a this or that, who would like them to be able to have it? And every hand goes up. And then they start to talk about, well, this is what organ donation is about. But you've also got, you know, the tissue donation. Now, blood's a tissue. As I've talked about, you know, skin is an organ, but your ligaments and bone and all different things. There's so many elements that you can donate, not just, you know, your corneas as well. And as I mentioned, people donate kidney to a family member.
Yeah.
Often.
I'm just going to take a quick break and then we'll come back because you've got something else you'd like to talk about.
Sing me love songs.
You hardly talk to me anymore. When I come through the door at the end of the day,
I remember when you couldn't wait to love me. Used to hate to leave.
All right.
Well, you just roll over and turn out the light. And you don't bring me flowers.
to be so natural. Talk about forever. What used to be's don't count anymore. They just lay on the floor till we sweep them away.
Baby, I remember all the things you taught me.
I learned how to laugh and I learned how to cry.
Well, I learned how to love and I learned how to lie.
So you think I could learn how to tell you goodbye?
How to tell you goodbye? You don't bring me flowers anymore.
Don't say you need me,
and you don't sing me love songs. You don't bring me flowers
Being the fourth Wednesday in the month, I'm talking to Cindy McLeish. Cindy, you'd like to talk about Ben Whirin.
I would like to talk about Ben Whirin because things are changing at Ben Whirin, Alan, after a very, very long time, 30 years at the helm as CEO. Dawn Devlin is stepping down or stepped down as at the annual general meeting, which was a couple of Friday nights ago.
30 years ago. It's terrific, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And that organisation has just done so many wonderful things. It's nestled at the back of Yarra Junction, not so far from the RSL, but on the banks of the river. And it's a big old rambling home. And what Ben Whirin does is offer refuge to women with children who are doing it tough, who are really struggling, where things aren't going well for them, where they need time out. Sometimes they're fleeing from family violence. Other times, you know, it's just things are really difficult for them.
Yep.
And one of the most amazing things, they do school holiday programs as well. When I've gone there and I talk to the volunteers, because they rely on an enormous number of volunteers, is so many of the volunteers use that service themselves and they help rebuild their lives, get themselves back on track, and then they go back to Ben Whirin and give back.
That's terrific, isn't it?
Oh, it's such a, they do so well.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing too, when you've got people that are giving back, it's not a case with someone saying, oh, look, I know how you feel, and patting on the head. You're actually dealing with people who do know how you feel because they've been down, a lot of them have been down that track themselves.
Absolutely. One of the girls who's now on the board, she went onto the committee and then she's now on the board, and she spoke at the annual general meeting. And she had been one of those women who fled family violence and had two small children. And one of the things that she talked about, and others that work there talk about, is that when you are in a highly stressed and anxious situation, and this will make complete sense, that, you know, your decision-making is not there.
Yep.
And so if you're a victim of family violence and, you know, your life is misery, you can't work out what to do. What do I do? What steps do I take? How do I do this? How do I do that? They say sometimes they can't even make a phone call. So when you go somewhere like Ben Whirin, where, you know, you've got a bed, you've got warmth, shelter, and you've got your meals cooked for you, and there are other women, and there's things for the kids to do, and there's school-type programs, and there's little kids' stuff, and I think they've just put in a half-court basketball court. I haven't seen that yet. That it just takes that pressure off for a short period of time that then they can help people rebuild and work out what it is they need to do next and how to help them to do that. So Dawn has done a stellar job in her 30 years there.
Yeah. So who's taking over now, Cindy?
Nicole. Nicole happens to be her niece, and Nicole is the daughter of well-known pastor Ray McDonald, who's officiating at the Millgrove Avenue of Honour on Saturday morning.
That's
just
good.
So happened. Ray is a pastor down at, I think it's the Baptist Church down in Millgrove, and he's well known. I think he told me he'd retired a couple of times. Keeps coming back.
Oh, that's
true. Nicole
terrific.
She's been working there with Dawn for 10 years, and so Nicole is absolutely ready and willing to take that next step and keep it moving. But I just wanted to congratulate Dawn and Ben Warren for the amazing job that they have done, and they are always looking for volunteers.
All right, so we put a call out. Anybody who would like to volunteer, get a hold of Ben Warren. Cindy, it's what you were saying, and I've never been in that situation, lucky, but they tell me that some of these women, what you said before about not being able to make a decision, some of them are so worn down, aren't they, between what's happening in their life. They probably look back later on and say, well, I don't know why I made that decision, but they're just so worn out.
They are. And getting, you know, food on the table for the kids and getting the kids off to school is almost, you know, maxing them out.
Yep. It's not good. And it's not fair they find themselves in that situation. Cindy, it's just about time for us to go. We thank you again for being part of the show. We'll try and get you into Healesville now. We've made the big move.
Look forward to it.
We're in the new place. You've been up and you were part of the opening. So we only opened it about 3 months ago. It's taken us nearly 3 months to get here. But it's terrific. And we'd love to later on talk to you about that. You were talking about the organ donation and try and find out why Victoria is just so low compared to the rest of the country.
Yes, that's what we've got to get to the bottom of. Okay.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Cindy. Bye.